Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
August this past.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm Lip Fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Last year, my family stayed at an Airbnb in Purcellville, Virginia. 10 minutes outside of Harper's Ferry, look up the John Brown Raid, and about 45 minutes away from Gettysburg. The house itself is older than the town, built in 1752, and on a current working farm or vineyard. Here's the setup of the house. You enter into the oldest part of the home. You can see these two sections, kitchen and sitting room, where the original cabin before past owners built on. Through the sitting room was a small library, another sitting area, and my parents' room on the first floor, but off the ground outside. When you go up the stairs of the sitting room, there's a bathroom to the right, two doors in front of the stairs, and a room to the left over the kitchen. My husband and I stayed in this room over the kitchen, as the bedroom directly in front of the stairs gave me the creeps. It had the original fireplace in there, but something when I walked in just felt off. My sister and Bill stayed on the floor above us, as that room has its own window AC unit. The house has no AC, just individual and room units. We arrived on a Sunday. Monday morning, my dad asked me about footsteps from the night prior. He said he was sitting at the kitchen table on his computer and could hear footsteps walking through the house above him. My dad had also been making jokes and tends to be a little theatrical with his humor, leading up to vacation, calling it Ghost Central. So I told him our room is above the kitchen and I wouldn't think anything of it. It was probably just one of us getting ready for bed. He then mentioned he thought he saw a bright light shining outside of his window and was tempted to look, but thought better of it. Again, my dad also has a history of wild dreams and sleepwalking, so I just brushed it off. Randomly, my husband asked me to help him move the crib from the other side of our room to be next to our bed. I didn't think anything of it, as he said it would just be easier because our room was so big it was half the full length of the original cabin, with only our bed at the far end of the room, opposite from the crib, and a bathroom. On Tuesday, my dad's birthday, we sat in the old dining room for dinner. The room is a stunning, picturesque, old farmhouse dining room with a big window overlooking the field, shed, and barn, with the mountains around us. It was still light outside about 5 p.m. while we were eating, and I looked outside the window and noticed the shed door seemed slightly ajar. I didn't think anything of it, but the next time I looked up, it looked more open, but slightly enough that I thought I was just overthinking it. This happened several times. The door was more open, more closed, etc. I didn't want to scare my already anxious dad, so I texted my husband. Can you go out and check the shed? The door keeps opening, I think. He checks his phone, and when we both look up, we watch the shed door slowly open itself completely, and then just as slowly closed itself shut. My husband went outside with my dad to check it out, but no one was there. He locked the shed and said it shouldn't open again, but it was weird that the door would both open and close itself like that. Wednesday, we were gone for the day in D.C., but on Thursday, we went to Gettysburg for the day, and my husband left after dinner to put the baby to bed so I could do the ghost tour with my family. When we got home, my husband, who is naturally very skeptical of ghosts and hyperlogical about everything, said he heard footsteps upstairs when he got in. Now, my dad and sister had met the groundskeeper on a walk along the property earlier in the week, and my husband said he was worried the guy was a weirdo walking around the house and maybe snooping while we were gone. Another thing about the house, sound does not travel. Sitting in the kitchen, you didn't get an echo or had to speak very loud and clear to someone in the next room. No acoustics. So he checked every room and closet to make sure no one was in the house. That's how loud the steps were, and he was a little spooked. But we decided not to say anything because my family was making comments all week about the house, and we didn't want to upset anyone. That night, I thought I was starting to get paranoid. I was hearing a knocking above my head and thought I was smelling vanilla. On the ghost tour, we learned that the townspeople dealt with the smell of corpses for months post, whereby dipping face masks in vanilla, lavender, or mint. I thought I was just spooked and did my best to sleep. When I woke up the next morning, always the first because I have my routine with our daughter, I noticed the kitchen cabinets were left open. I was confused, but just closed them. And while my daughter was taking a nap later that morning, I tapped her monitor and the camera rotated all the way down. I was really confused. Had I held it down? Am I overthinking it? My family decided to spend the day in Leesburg as our last full day before we left Saturday. At lunch, I mentioned the cabinets, and my dad said it might have been him. He got my mom a glass of water before bed, but we all went to bed after him. Then my sister mentioned that she woke up in a cold sweat at 3 a.m., She said she was having a really weird dream and thought she heard someone whisper in her ear, "Don't move." She said that before bed, her and her husband were watching more videos about Gettysburg and saw a bright flash of light outside the window, that she even checked the weather thinking maybe there was a lightning storm on the way or something. Then I looked at my husband and said, "Did you tell them about the footsteps?" He hadn't. He shared his story and then said he also woke up at 3 a.m. in a cold sweat this morning. My sister also mentioned that she also hated the first bedroom. There was something about the fireplace that creeped her out that same way. It gave me weird vibes. We all decided to keep that door shut all week without saying anything to each other about it. We were all stunned. My sister immediately started panicking, asking if we should leave. We were all on the fence about it. We were planning to leave Saturday at 6 a.m. regardless to get home and return our rentals, but weren't entirely convinced. We finished our day out, came home and began to pack up what we needed to, and then went to dinner with the plan to stay one more night. This is where everything got really weird. When we got home from dinner, the bedroom we kept shut was cracked open, and then air coming out of it was so cold, it was like standing directly in front of the AC. It was just my husband and I on the stairs, and we looked at each other, and he quickly shut it before my sister came up because we didn't want her to freak out. We put the baby to bed, and I headed downstairs because we all talked about having one last fire pit outside. My husband stayed with the baby until she fell asleep. But when I came downstairs, my family was huddled together saying, "We need to go." My sister was really scared and did not want to stay another night in their room. After some discussion, we all decided it'd be best to leave. We were all only 3 hours from home, and we could sleep in our own beds before midnight. We got the cars loaded up relatively quickly, and I had our daughter in her car seat and was talking with my sister with the car door open as the boys all did a final walk through the house. From the outside, you can see perfectly who is where in the house. I could see my dad walking into what was our room on the second floor with my husband, and I could see the flashlight scanning the top floor simultaneously, where my sister and Bill slept. My husband had his flashlight on when he went into the house, so I assumed it was him up there. After a few minutes, my dad throws out some final trash, and I see him half running or scuffling to the car and says, "Okay, time to go." We start heading down the driveway and turn to my husband and asked why he didn't just turn the lights on upstairs when he checked it. He said he wasn't up there, that it was my BIL. My dad yell duped the stairs asking if BIL was up there, and husband heard, "Yeah, I'm up here." At that point, my sister calls me. I ask her if BIL was upstairs to do a final sweep. He said no, he didn't go upstairs, and my dad and their car confirmed it. My dad said he yelled up the stairs if he was there, and BIL yelled from the first floor, "No, I'm in the kitchen." When everyone asked why, I told them what I saw. It was like someone was walking around the third floor with a flashlight, scanning the room. My dad mentioned that when he went into my room to check it, his flashlight started to die, and when he stepped into the hallway, it came back on. My husband agreed and shared when he went into our room with my dad. He felt suddenly numb, and while my dad was locking the house up on the keypad, he started the 4-digit code, and the house locked itself on the second number. And when he went throw out the last of the trash, his flashlight started to die again. That's when we all saw him shuffling to the car. Oh, and when we tried to find any information on the house, it's so old and historical, there's got to be something, right? We found nothing. Except the 2020 Zillow listing from the last owner, who literally had 6-packed paragraphs of information about the house. And under what the owner loves about the house is one sentence: the house was a Civil War field hospital. And then goes on to talk about the home's 66 acres and nearby locations. Needless to say, after all of that, we all felt better about coming home and not spending another night. Sometimes I wonder if ghosts just get comfortable or familiar, and as more weird shit happened leading up to the night we left, I would not have been able to sleep that night. The owner texted my dad the next day to give checkout instructions, and my dad said, "We left last night. I'm sure we're not the first to tell you this, but your place is haunted." The owners were surprised and said we were the first to say so and asked what we experienced, and that it was a Civil War field hospital, per Zillow. They simply said, "Well, it definitely has its history," and asked us to leave a review. We didn't. Anyone have any interesting history on Purcellville during the Civil War? couple friends and I were in Russia last summer for the World Cup, and were staying in an Airbnb that had digital keys, meaning you simply needed certain codes to enter the building and get the key for the unit. That night I realized that the front door didn't actually lock when you closed the door, but considering we were the only unit on the top floor of a quiet building that we'd be fine. So I'm sleeping on the couch in the living room and have been having dreams that someone is going to come into our Airbnb and steal all of our shit while we sleep. Next thing I know, the lights come on and I see a man and a woman standing there staring at me while I sleep. I groggily open my eyes and am trying to determine if they're stealing things, if I'm dreaming, or what the hell is going on. The woman has a roller bag by her and asks what I'm doing in her Airbnb. I return by asking her the same thing. It took my brain a few cycles to click in and realize that 1, I am not dreaming, and 2, there really are 2 people in the living room staring at me. The only difference between my dream and what's happening is that they're speaking English, and in my dreams it was Russian. Considering the sun was up, I asked the time and was told 4 a.m., which further confuses me. Long story short, the woman who came into the apartment was an idiot. She had booked the apartment for the day that we were leaving, call it a Friday, but told the host that she would be arriving late to the Airbnb. Host told her no problem and supplied her with the codes for the building and the lockbox that contained the key, thinking that she meant late on Friday night. When the woman didn't find the key in the lockbox, she decided to go to the apartment and enter thinking that maybe the keys were inside. She seriously told me this. When I asked her who she thought I was, she thought I was maybe the caretaker of the property. Needless to say, she did not get the apartment, and I told them to go look for a hotel. She was convinced the host overbooked the Airbnb, but after talking to the host, she told me about how the woman said she would be coming in late. The host assumed she meant late on Friday night, not early. The host was super apologetic. My final thought in all of this is the woman is really lucky to find me on the couch. Neither of my friends who were with me spoke English, and walking into an unknown apartment and asking in a foreign language what someone is doing there is a bad idea all around. I could only imagine a little girl sleeping on the couch. They come in, flick on the lights, scare the little girl, and some Russian not knowing English comes out swinging. The Airbnb host gave me enough information that I was able to find this woman on FB and debated sending her a message asking how she could be so stupid. But I thought better of it. Not a horror story per se, but still the weirdest thing I've ever experienced on the platform. So two friends of mine and I went to Nashville to watch a football game a few weeks ago. We stayed at an Airbnb we have never stayed at before, but it was a good deal and we all got our own bedroom. The first thing we noticed was a door in the middle of the hallway that was not a bedroom. It was a door to the basement. The walkway down was as creepy as one could imagine. It looked like something out of The Conjuring with stone walls and rickety stairs. My friends thought it was a little creepy, but I got an immediate feeling of uneasiness and discomfort. The hair on my arms stood straight up as my friends decided to go down into the basement and look around. The next thing we noticed was that the door would not close. There was no latch and no way to keep the door closed, so we decided to put a basket in front of the door to keep it shut. We went to the game and then out afterwards and got back to the house around 2:30 a.m. The door was closed, but the basket was pushed away from the door, by about 5 feet. My friends didn't think much of it in their drunken state, but this really did not sit well with me. I begrudgingly went to my room to go to sleep, making sure to lock the door behind me. I woke up around 8 a.m. the next morning and heard the doorknob to my room slowly turning. The door being locked, it wouldn't open, and I figured it was my friends trying to get me up for breakfast. Then I hear a very distinct SHH come from the other side of the door. Not thinking it was anything other than my friends, I just went back to sleep. About an hour later, my friends got back from breakfast and I got up. I asked them why they tried to open my door this morning and were shushing people. They both looked at me confused and asked what I was talking about. They were very adamant that they did not try to open my door, and they did not shush anyone. So, what do you think? Joking friends or something more sinister? Worst Airbnb experience was a last-minute cancellation in New York City. No rooms open in the city for less than $750 a night. Spent the first night bar hopping. The second night I waded through a sea of prostitutes to get to a hotel in Newark, where someone was shot a few rooms over. Worst experience at an actual stay is more of a story. First night goes great. Guy lives alone with a cool game room, very similar degree to mine. We talked for hours. Second night we're talking, and he starts a romantic fire, starts dressing up the living room, and making it a little uncomfortably cozy. Just as I'm about to say something, his date shows up. I offered to make myself scare, didn't want to crash date night, but they said it was fine. Poured me some wine. The two didn't seem to have much in common, but they've been together a few years. I started talking with him. We got technical on some work stuff, and I saw her eyes glaze over in boredom. I pulled her back in and found she had an interest I could chime in on, and saw he didn't have much to saw and was looking irritated. Done being a third wheel, I excused myself to my room and sat down with a book. They left immediately after. Guess they were just being kind hosts. About midnight, they roll in, kinda loud and sushing each other, ran off to the bedroom and had loud sex for an hour. Day three, she's still there. I get in as they're going out for the night. They come in at 2 a.m. and the vibe is off. No words, too quiet. They then proceed to fight and scream until 2 a.m. I'm not sure who started the fight, but when he yelled something along the lines of, "Stop crying, you're making me feel bad," I almost joined in, like, whatever the fight is, you lose, apologize to her. How are you this dense? Day 4. With last night's smeared mascara, she greeted me on my way to the bus and gave me the $120 a bottle of wine she bought for the night before. Has anyone traveled to a different country and had an experience? I've had many experiences throughout my life, and the odd time in a foreign country, I'll have an experience unlike anything I've ever experienced back home, but it's very rare. I'm currently in Prague, Czech Republic, and I have been here since the end of October. I usually rent an apartment whenever I travel, think Airbnb, HomeAway, etc., and I've never had an issue with any apartment in the past. And this is my fifth visit to Prague. I know Prague is very rich in history, especially when it comes to ghosts, gory history, etc. Within the first few days in my apartment, my cousin, who also has experiences back home, sent me an article about lemons. Maybe you've seen this floating around the internet. The trick is to place lemons where you have unexplained activity, and if the lemons turn green and moldy, they have absorbed the negative energy or something to that effect. I didn't pay much attention to it, but I did buy lemons for cooking with, and within 72 hours they had turned green like I had never seen before. Could be just a bad batch of lemons though, right? Then the following week, I was waiting for the shower to heat up one of those instantaneous water heaters, which seems to be common in Europe. As I was watching the water run, a black blob of a shadow about the size of a large grapefruit or small melon came out of the shower head and fell to the floor. Picture dropping a grapefruit. It was of similar speed you would expect a grapefruit to fall, and with a similar splat ending when it hits the ground. When it landed on the shower floor, it seemed to morph or melt from its circular-like shape into liquid form and slithered down the drain. I've never seen black blobs, has anyone else? Are those ominous? In my experience, most black figures aren't nice. And 2 weeks ago, I was laying in bed reading I'm a Bit of a Night Owl. Thankful I've found Reddit. I looked up from my iPad and a white mist was floating over me and going out the bedroom door. I've never seen mist before, but I have been attacked by a bubble-like entity that would hover over me when I slept and strangle me. This mist was very white, very light moving. It didn't seem ominous at all, I rolled over to tap my husband to wake up, not that he ever sees any of this, and does not like that I believe in it, and there were massive white wings flapping over his side of the bed. They were absolutely stunning and beautiful. I could see the feathers in such great detail, but I couldn't see where the wings joined each other or what they were attached to. The wings started to ascend and went up to the 12-foot ceiling and disappeared. Between reading and surfing on my iPad, I was silently talking to my mother, who passed away 2 years ago. We are in Prague for a type of fertility treatment that isn't offered in our home country. We have been trying for almost 6 years and have had 5 miscarriages. We've done IUI, IVF, etc. I was begging her to finally let this time be our time. I rarely receive signs from her, which I find frustrating, because this woman, when her dad passed away, she could literally command a sign at any time and her dad would send one. So I was always upset why she wouldn't do the same for me. Was this my mom? Was this incident with the mist and wings her? We found out this week we are indeed pregnant, but the real test is whether this pregnancy sticks, as the rest haven't. One thing I find most intriguing about this apartment, though, is a locked room. It has a sign on it saying, "Private." I'm nosy. I tried all of our keys, and naturally they don't open this locked door. It's an old door, with an old-style long skeleton key lock. During the day I can look through the keyhole into the room, and there has to be a window because the room is super bright. Initially, I thought the owners used it as storage, extra bedding, cleaning supplies for when cleaning between rentals, etc. But it's not, it's a child's room. There's bunk beds and other furniture. This creeped me out. It looks relatively untouched, and that it could be used at any time. Now I'm wondering if something happened here, and the owners are renting it out because they can't part with these memories. I could totally be reading too much into it. But maybe these experiences aren't related to me and are related to the apartment. Has anyone had experiences while pregnant? Did you find the experiences were less or more intense? I know I'm paranoid, but I've always been very cautious and try to close down experiences when I'm pregnant out of fear of harm. I'm happy these experiences weren't terrifying. It's been so quiet for me the past while. I was quite shocked when things started picking up. My friends and I booked a big house for a weekend near Wrigley Field in Chicago for a bachelorette party. We had decorated the whole house with inappropriate banners and things like that. You know how bachelorette parties go. We spent Saturday morning brunching and pre-gaming before the evening's festivities, and by 1 p.m. or so, we're all certainly well on our way to party town. While we were sitting there, the bachelorette gets a call from the Airbnb owner saying he was in the midst of listing the place, and that he forgot to tell us he had scheduled showings all weekend. She told him that was absolutely not going to fly. There were women napping in rooms, women getting ready, alcohol bottles everywhere, not to mention the decor. He replied by saying he was already outside with the first showing and was giving us a courtesy call to let us know he would be coming in. We look outside and he is standing on the sidewalk with a family, including 3 little kids. He brought them inside to give them a showing, and we just had to sit there awkwardly, drunk at 1 p.m., surrounded by blow-up penises, while they walked around and viewed the house. He even went into the rooms where women were napping and turned on all of the lights to show them the bedrooms. Luckily, we left soon after for a Cubs game, but he proceeded to show the house for the rest of the day. We contacted Airbnb and they refunded half our money, but there weren't any other available houses in the area for them to move us to that weekend, so we just had to deal. My husband and I went to an event with our friends, another couple, and stayed in an Airbnb apartment. It was a cute old place above a little store in a small town. It never once felt creepy or uncomfortable the days we were there. On the last night, we went to our rooms. My husband was falling asleep while I stayed up looking at photos from the event on my phone and talking to my sisters in a group text when out of nowhere I heard a whisper from the door, "Cue Nickhorn, come out into the hall." It was the voice of my friend in the other room, but it wasn't her because she was asleep. Her boyfriend had carried her to bed after she fell asleep on the couch. Besides, if she needed me, she would have texted first, or at least made sure she had my attention before just whispering a sentence and hoping I heard it. Normally I would have gone after it. But after that I slowly got extremely freaked out, almost worked into a panic attack, shaking, which I don't do. They didn't believe me that it happened, and my husband just believes that I believe I heard something. I guess I just had to tell the story. Maybe someone will believe me. I know I heard something. I originally booked a home in Las Vegas of an Airbnb with a young couple. I was corresponding with the wife. I was told there were two dogs who would stay out of my private bedroom. The rest was shared space. That seemed easy enough. When I arrived, there was no female in the house, just two men. The one man said his wife was away in the army. Finding it odd she never mentioned she would not be there was my first red flag. The wedding photo did not match the picture of the girl I was talking to via online. Another red flag. There were four dogs instead of two, and the two men were particularly abusive towards one of the dogs. When inquiring, they acted confused, said it was the wife's dog. It was growing into a very uncomfortable situation. He told me I was welcome to use the kitchen at my free will, and handed me a key. Very friendly, but he would often make inappropriate comments to me, and I would brush it off. I went to warm up some leftovers my first night, and their sink was full of dirty dishes. Not one clean plate to eat my food on, not even silverware. I saved the food in the fridge, but in the 3 days I was there, no one did dishes. I wasn't going to clean someone else's dishes to eat food. The final straw was the last night I was there. I was organizing for my travel day the next day and getting ready for bed. My door was closed. He knocked on my door. Before I could respond, he opened the door, shut it behind him, and sat on my bed. I was instantly uncomfortable. He continued with his inappropriate banter. He told me how lonely he was and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. How he doesn't know how much longer he should be faithful to his wife. I probably engaged longer in this conversation than I needed to while I was an advocate for his wife. But eventually I lost my cool and started to yell at him to leave my room. He left promptly and apologized, thank God. This was also my first Airbnb experience. Needless to say, I will be much more hesitant about shared space homes in the future. Won't scare me away from using the service in the future. Next time I go to Vegas, I'm staying on the Strip though. This happened last year when my friends and I were finding a good place to throw a big party. We searched for a while and finally found the perfect house on Airbnb. We were celebrating my friend's graduation, and she invited lots of people, maybe around 40 or even more. I had to work that evening, so I wouldn't be free until around 11. She called me and said she'd save some food and drinks for me. She also said they'd keep the best part of the party for after midnight so I could join in. My work ended, and I was excited for the party. The Airbnb was just a short walk from my parents' house, where I lived at the time. So it was like any other drive home, except I took a few wrong turns. It was around 10:30, and I finished work earlier than I thought. As I walked to the parking lot and got into my car, I started driving home. I got behind the wheel of my old, rusty car and drove along the usual back roads, like always. The roads I took were quieter than the main highways, so I preferred them. It was a shorter route, but the roads were a bit bumpy. Normally, the trip took about 40 to 50 minutes depending on traffic, but tonight was different. About 15 minutes into the drive, the car radio stopped working. Then the headlights went off, and soon after, the engine died too. The car completely stopped working. I tried to start it again, but every time I turned the key, It just made a clicking sound. I thought the only option left was to walk the rest of the way home. I opened the trunk and grabbed the flashlight from under the spare tire. I tested it. It wasn't super bright, but it was better than walking home in the dark. I started walking, shining the flashlight in front of me. The car was really old and rusty. It was just a small car for getting around. Of course, I wasn't leaving it behind, but nothing was going to stop me from missing this Arabian party. My friend's graduation meant a lot to me, and I didn't want to get stuck waiting for a mechanic or a tow truck and end up missing the whole party. Unfortunately, there weren't any houses along that part of the road. If things were different, I might have thought about knocking on a door and asking to use someone's phone to call my mom and tell her what happened. But I couldn't do that because there was nobody around to ask. The only good thing was that tonight there was a full moon, which made it a bit easier to see as I walked along the grassy edge. The flashlight I had was terrible. It was one my dad had thrown in the back of the car. It didn't work well at all. I had been walking for about 10 minutes with owls hooting in the nearby trees. Then I noticed some car headlights in the distance coming toward me. Something in my mind told me I should be careful, that I shouldn't signal the car for help because I was alone and a woman. It was dark, and I didn't know anything about the person driving the car. I quickly decided to step into the bushes at the side of the road and turn off the flashlight. It wouldn't have made a difference anyway. It was so dim. The vehicle slowed down a bit as it passed, and from the bushes, I could see it was actually a rusty red pickup truck. It almost looked worse than mine, but the driver was acting very strangely. He had the interior light on in the cab, which made it easy for me to see him. He seemed to look in my direction as he passed, but maybe I was just being paranoid. The pickup truck drove away and disappeared down the road. I let out a sigh of relief and stepped out of the bushes, ready to continue walking. But then I heard the vehicle's engine slowing down in the distance. Soon after, I heard the sound of the vehicle turning around, and I saw its headlights coming back toward me. I froze. I quickly decided to jump back into the bushes. Then, even more strangely, I heard the pickup truck's engine slowing down, then stopping. The headlights turned off about 50 meters away from me. Alarm bells started ringing in my head. This was a really scary and risky situation. I had to think quickly. I thought maybe the person had seen me somehow and decided to come back. But I didn't know if they wanted to help or if it was something worse. I wasn't going to stick around to find out, that's for sure. I quickly realized if I stayed on the road, I'd be caught. So I turned off my flashlight again to avoid giving away my location, and I headed into the trees that lined the road. When I got to the trees, I looked back down the road, and to my horror, I could see a dark figure with long white hair illuminated by the bright moon. He was coming up the road towards me, where I had been hiding in the bush by the roadside. That was it. I went deeper into the woods and ran as fast as I could. But it was really dark because the moonlight couldn't get through the trees well. I knew I couldn't use the flashlight because it would show where I was to the sky. I took a quick break to catch my breath and listen. I was sure of it. I could hear someone running, footsteps coming from behind me. I changed direction and stayed low, heading for a tree with low branches. When I reached it, I decided to try climbing the tree to hide because I knew I couldn't run faster than this person. When I reached the highest point I could, I lay flat on one of the branches that had lots of leaves covering it. I waited and listened. Soon enough, I heard the footsteps getting closer to the tree. I peeked down through the leaves, and to my horror, I saw the figure looking around below. He was searching for me, but I was right above him. I held my breath. After a few minutes, he started running deeper into the forest. I stayed in the tree all night, too scared to come down. In the morning, when the sun came up, I heard shouting and dogs barking. When I looked down, I saw the sheriff's department officers and a patrol dog. I yelled to them and carefully climbed down the tree. I couldn't stop crying and shaking. I was so relieved they found me. It turned out my mom and friend during the graduation party called the sheriff's department when I didn't come home. when I told them about being chased by the person in the red pickup truck. They said they hadn't found or seen any red pickup trucks during their search for me. I mentioned that the driver had long white hair, but they said they'd keep it as part of their investigation. I also talked to my friends, and I changed my work hours to only work during the daytime. It's been 8 months since it happened, and the local sheriff's department hasn't found any red pickup trucks or suspects that fit my description. All they say is that he's probably left the state by now, but they've shared my descriptions with nearby states. I'm scared because I think this man is still out there, and I worry he might target another unsuspecting person in the future. My friend and I were in Barsana, India for Lothmer Holi, and everything was totally booked up. It's a fairly small town, so went down the road a bit to find a place. We came across a restaurant and hotel and tried to book a room, but it turned out the hotel portion of things was still being built. They had a room that was kind of done and offered it. It was really late and not much else around, so we took it. After they brought us up to the room, we found there was no bed. So they brought up a new mattress and put sheets and such on it, plastic still on the mattress. The windows weren't quite finished, so mosquitoes ate well that night. And first thing in the morning, workers just wandered in and started working on the room. No lock on the door yet. We didn't have time to find another place, else we would have missed the festivities. So we stayed a second night, but were moved to another half-completed room. Workers were pounding and drilling on things in other rooms, and testing TVS at full volume until like 2 a.m. And the next day they were knocking on the door every 30 minutes so they could come in and work on things. And again, no proper windows, so more mosquitoes. Although this time we were sleeping in hammock bug nets over us, which mostly only helped psychologically. It was so bad it was downright comedic. It was worth enduring for the festivities, but it was tough. At least the restaurant downstairs had good food. I was a nightmare guest once in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I stayed in a lovely town just outside the city. Picturesque mountains everywhere in a quaint village cabin with no plumbing, just septic. I thought perfect place to trip acid, right? Anyways, several hours later, cut to not tripping hard enough, so I decide to smoke a bowl and I go to outer space. I have never been that high in my life. I tried to climb a mountain that was actually a very small hill, but got scared halfway up and came down, spending the rest of my trip on the floor until dusk came and hunger struck. Not fit to drive, I walked to a local restaurant. There I order chicken wings. They look a bit weird and even ask someone, but I figure I must be tripping and they're fine. I head home and immediately start violently puking everywhere. And when I think it's over, it starts again, except from both ends, simultaneously. I do not sleep that night, and I am effectively isolated and an hour's drive away from a pharmacy that will not open until morning. I do not sleep. I only am on the cusp of death all night. When I wake up, I am so exhausted and empty with the combined acid and food poisoning. I cannot clean the Airbnb I'm staying in. I have to get to a pharmacy ASAP for some Pepto and Gatorade. I make it eventually, and when I'm sleeping in the car on the way home, I wake up to see my Airbnb host left me a message wishing me well. I message them I got sick and am so sorry for the mess. They just message me back. Yeah, we figured that out. Booked the coziest or cutest Airbnb in Rome. A little one-bedroom apartment in the heart of Trastevere in a beautiful old building. The apartment was stone, wood, or classic Roman. Everything was great until the apartment started to shake as the upstairs unit was being renovated. For hours after my arrival, the jackhammering didn't stop. Phone calls to the host went unanswered. When they finally answered, they let me know it was their other unit, and they would ask the workers to stop. As one could guess, it did not stop. It would start and stop for the next few hours. When I finally contacted Airbnb to relocate me, the owner showed up and was furious I was getting my money back. Credit to Airbnb, they booked me into an even nicer apartment a few blocks away. A place in Aikbukuro, Tokyo, was advertised as an apartment. Photos looked pretty decent. Small, but just enough for one person. Arrived there on the day of realized it was a love hotel charged rooms by the hour. Room was smaller than I thought, with absolutely no floor space you walk in, and the bed and sink were right there. No space to put any luggage, and a musky stench. The wallpaper had stains from God knows what. Read some reviews that weren't on Airbnb, and people mentioned having dried up bodily fluids on their mattresses and blankets. The final straw was the fact that they had no hot water in the middle of a winter night. Left there pretty fast, contacted the owner, and she was nice enough to give me a refund. Stayed in a beachfront bungalow in Sea that only locked from the outside with a padlock. The people who hung around the bungalow bar, including the owner, it was a cluster of bungalows and a bar or restaurant by the same name, were all definitely shady as F. When I sat down, female solo traveler, the only woman in the establishment, they had no issues making jokes about how you can do anything you want on this island. You can make someone disappear if you want. Nope. On a night out, I ended up dropping the key to the padlock and had to sleep on the porch because the owner wouldn't be there with a replacement until morning. I was more than happy to pay the replacement fee, but asked that it be done through the resolution center and not with cash, so there'd be proof I paid, and he agreed. I paid immediately and checked out, but I guess there's a delay on Airbnb's end, it stated. I had like 48 hours to fulfill the request, so I got a series of incredibly angry, threatening messages from the host asking for his money, asking why I'd do this to him, telling me I'd never be welcome back on that island, that he would get me blackballed from ever re-entering that country, etc. Then the funds were released to him, and he apologized. I left him a good review so he would feel even more guilty and stupid. Termite infestation out of nowhere during my group's second night in Nola. We returned to the house mid-afternoon to regroup before going out for the night. Between the hours of 6 p.m. when we left, there was no sign of anything wrong to midnight. Termites had begun chewing through walls and were all over everything. In our suitcases and clothes, all over the bed, all over the food, all over the floor. It was disgusting. We had to find a hotel for 12 people at about 1 a.m. and spent the night in our hotel, going through every item we owned one by one, making sure to kill any termites we had missed. Thankfully, got a full refund from the owner. Booked a place in Barcelona for 5 nights. Place was well reviewed and located near the Sagrada Familia. Some random friend of the owner picked us up from the airport. He was literally speeding or swerving through traffic and didn't speak a word of English. Got to the apartment and some other guy handed me a phone to talk to the owner. He explained there was water coming through the ceiling and he'll fix it ASAP. Found this was pouring onto the boiler and a live power socket. Then saw there was a piece of glass in the kitchen window missing, just to top this off. We decided to stay one night, we had no other options. Barcelona has more motorbikes than any other city I've been to. So every 5 minutes we were woken up by one going by as the windows had zero soundproofing. We moved the mattress to another room away from the road. It was 3 a.m. at this point, when a large group of drunk women came into the apartment building and were running around the staircase, screaming and laughing. Then at 4 a.m. the kids of the neighbor above started running around and playing or screaming too. 5 a.m. we rang Airbnb, received a full refund, and booked a 5-star hotel for less than the Airbnb. You can get pretty good deals at that time in the morning. Piece of advice. Always use the Airbnb chat to talk to the owner. This conversation is recorded then in case they try and scam you in any way or break Airbnb's rules. The whole time the owner was constantly trying to get us to talk over WhatsApp, making promises to make sure we stay, then trying to get us out so he could get other tenants in. I have a couple. In Ireland, I had a decent experience at most places. Typically good rooms in nice houses. We got to one place, it was an apartment in a larger, rundown complex, and it was gross. First of all, the person who met me was not the host. It was some other random young-ish looking dude. He ushered me into this room with a bunch of drifter-looking types. The room itself was not even kind of the room pictured. It had one very old bed, a moldy shared shower in a dorm-style setup, and was just disgusting. No soap. It was drafting and dirty and looked almost abandoned. I noped right out of there. The second one was in Hawaii, on Oahu. The room was in a house right on the beach, which I was excited about. However, when I got there, not only was the neighborhood hella sketchy, the beach was strewn with trash and the room itself was in the filthiest, most hoarders-esque house I've ever seen. I had to push past an avalanche of junk to get to my room. When I inspected the room before bringing my stuff in, I found a small, flat, round bug in the seam of the bed. F. No. I contacted Airbnb and they said they would need authorization from the host to give me a refund. He was pretty chill about it, and I got the full refund. But that meant I had to find alternative housing at 9 p.m. at night. I ended up finding a great condo that I absolutely loved. I also stayed in an apartment in Brooklyn that had cockroaches, but to be honest, I think that's pretty normal in New York City. So I didn't complain, I just washed the shit out of everything when I got home.